I'm Steve Ball.
And we're back.
Back with the proper music.
Yeah, sorry about that, Steve. I did throw us a bit of a curveball the other week when I had Alan Johnson leading into the programme with a beautiful piece of classical music while I was sat in the garden listening to the birds.
Yes, I thought something was different going on in your world, Neil.
Yes, right.
I like the old music.
Yeah, we can have a bit of a jazz funk.
Absolutely.
No? Yeah, you got it. Okay, so we're back today. Now, those of you who've been listening during the week will have seen the Daily Scribble show, which Alan was doing for us. It was a great thing to do, and it caught up a bit with some of the poets whom we needed to cover on the programme. But we're going back now to the weekly programme, which will be with Steve and I. So just sit back, and as we say every week, sit back, relax, kick off your shoes as we go through the next hour of some cracking poetry.
Excellent.
It should be really good. And there might be a bit of banter along the way as well.
We'll try.
We do our best.
Yes.
Which will be much better than last week, because I didn't do a lot of laughing last week.
No, I didn't. Well, to be honest, Neil, I turned off when the music came in. No, I didn't. I did listen in.
Okay, let's kick it off. We're going to start off with a piece by Dorna Markova. It's been voiced by Michael R. Justice with all his production, and it's called Fully Alive. I've listened to this, Steve.
Okay, Hawk.
I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as a seed goes to the next as a blossom, and that which came to me as a blossom goes on as a fruit. Fully Alive by Dorna Markova.
Piece of classical guitar music. That
lovely.
Behind it. It was lovely, that. Nice reading by Michael, and a great poem by Dorna Markova. Thought it was a good way to start the programme. Kind of gets us in that chilled out sort of mood that we have on every Thursday night for the Friday programme.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is rather good.
Can I spoil the mood, Neil, by asking a critical question?
Yeah, go on then.
What does the outcome of the European referendum have on the... What impact does it have on the future of the Scribble Show?
Oh, it could be, you know, you've got to either vote in or out. Now, there's not much problems if you vote for out, and there's not much problems if you vote for in, because we'll just skim right over the top of it. Unless, of course, the European Commission say we can't play any more European poets anymore.
Mm, without a tariff on it.
Yeah, there'd be a tariff on that.
Like an extra biscuit.
But what we'll do is we'll get in touch with Nigel Farage to give his point of view on poetry in when we're out of the European Union, and probably David Cameron on his view on poetry if we stay in the European Union. Yeah. Either way, we'll still be here.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Just thought I'd ask the question.
Yeah, it's good to clear it up because there's a lot of confusion knocking around at the minute. You know, do we get out? Do we stay in? For those of you who are not British nationals who don't really care whether we're in or we're out.
Neither do we.
Most of the country don't either. We're sick to the back teeth of listening to
it. Yeah, I'll be glad when it's all over.
Yeah, me too. Okay, moving along. Jason Nicholas Smith. He's been on the programme before. Produced some really good work. Sent me through this... piece of work this week, and he does it in his style. He sends this email through and goes, I've recorded this, I'm not sure it's any good, and I listen to it and go, it's cracking now, what are you talking about? You know, let's get in the programme. So I'll listen to this one, Steve.
Told mental illness, head full of thoughts hazy, paranoia manifests and I think I'm going crazy. I close my eyes conversing and no one's there, my mind's an overused bungee ready to tear. I try to get a grip, grab hold of normality, but the voices inside are equating insanity. Whispering things rather left alone, excuses that scream like 10 megaphones. I stop and see all eyes on me, let loose tongue betraying too loudly, with words so profound they near drown me, but at times can king and crown me. Sometimes exasperating talk makes a skewed kind of sense, engaging amazing like rap star 50 cents. And when traps are set and dangers roll, it happens just like a script told unfold. No holds barred when the voices speak, profanity's no saying being repeats. Uninvited guests there from young, now when silent it's like something's wrong. I've always shied from giving them names, in a pain-filled life with my mental games. Syllables sound in a susurration background, like a TV's on or waves of sound. Is there a hex from birth that binds me? Because there is no escape from what's inside me. I try to get close so not alone from others. Pain with disillusion my soul discovers. Afraid those close grow ever distant. The voices can talk in any instant. My friends disappear so I shed a tear. Believing danger is near, trembling in fear. Contemplation of death seemingly a viable and achievable release, because even in prayers I can no longer find peace. R.I.P. when the voices cease.
See, I thought that was good, because I was listening to a report the other day about how many people are suffering from this sort of mental illness that's out there. So I thought that was quite apt, that.
Oh, that was very good.
Yeah, it was really
well
good.
Put together that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just a bit of a shout out to Jason. When you send me a piece of work through, don't put on it, I'm not sure whether this is any good or not, because they're cracking. They're really good.
We're all like that, though.
Yeah, we are. We all feel a bit insecure when we send stuff through, but really brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
Loved it. And kind of on that vein a little bit, because there was a little bit of a rap in that with Jason, with the way he put it together. And we had this poem through from a gentleman by the name of Charles Edward York, who's quite a well-known poet over in the US. And he wrote a rap. And it's, and I thought, you know, I'm going to have a bit of a challenge reading this. So I asked Ryan Woods to read it, and he's done a brilliant job on it, absolute brilliant job on it, because it's not Ryan's normal style of what he does.
Yeah.
But he's actually voiced this rap.
And you can sing, can't you? Take 47.
Yeah, that's right. I think he had that sort of a problem with it. Yeah. Oh, God, let's get to the end of it. But it was a great piece, and somebody needed to voice it, and Ryan said, you know what, I'll do that for you, Neil. So he's done this. Let's see what you think to it. I think Ryan's done a superb job on it.
Hey everyone, this is Ryan Woods. I'm recording this piece on behalf of Charles Edward York. It's kind of a rap poem, as I'm more of a chocolate M&M than a rap M&M. I hope you'll bear with me. Charles, if you're listening, I hope I've done your poem justice, and I hope you enjoy my interpretation of it. This is called Born to This. Once upon a time in death shit far away, the eagle and the tiger made love one day. A white man sailor and an Asian mom. Vietnam War with 52 drop bombs. A fight for freedom in a corrupt nation. Ho Chi Minh called a war of liberation. I'm trying to tell you, I was born to this. A crazy ass world, we done made a mess. Moved back home to the land of the free, a people's paradise of equality. But wait, hold up to my sad surprise, they said, you know karate, right? Slant eyes. Took me outside where they flipped me over, beat my nose till I bled like a gusher. I'm trying to tell you, I was born to this. A crazy ass world, we done made a mess. Went to college for my education, learned real fast about discrimination. White boys waving a Confederate flag, I said, I won't salute your traitor's rag. Rose-colored peeps talking, dream is here. Found out real fast when it disappeared. I'm trying to tell you, I was born to this. A crazy-ass world, we done made a mess. From Rodney King to Michael Brown, Popo be tripping like a gangster clown. Shooting up colors and acting all ruthless. Black Lives Matter is crying for justice. MLK and Malcolm X got tapped. And now young bloods fall dead in a trap. What? I'm trying to tell you, I was born to this. A crazy ass world, we done made a mess. Donald Trump called busting all means, spreading his shit all over the scene, making us hate building walls, head busting, a bigot and a cheesy you can't put your trust in. Syrians and Mexicans not allowed entry, but who took from native saying, this is our country? I'm trying to tell you, I was born to this. A crazy ass world, we done made a mess. So it's like that, I see what time it is. I'm trying to tell you, I was born to this. A wonderful world if we cleaned the mess, time to stand together or fail the test. United we stand and divided we fall. We gotta face the truth and answer the call. We are one nation and one of many colours. It's time to recognise we're all sisters and brothers. Yeah, I dropped a mic on you, did I? Well, shut the front door. You's in real school now. Keep your shirt on, mother. Time to recognise train ain't waiting at the station. Let's ride. Peace, freedom and equality. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I am out.
Hey, Neil, I've told you before, all the best rappers are from Preston.
They are. The Chocolate M&M, that's his new name now. Ryan Woods, brilliant job.
Yeah. And it takes a bit of bravery to have a go at that, because it's a completely different style, isn't it?
It was a really tough poem to have, for any of us to actually do. And Ryan just took up the challenge and went, you know what, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
All we need now is somebody like Kara Johnstad to write a bit of music behind it, and we could have a hit on our hands.
Yeah.
So, Charles, you write the music, you write the lyrics, Ryan can voice it, Kara does the music, rock and roll.
Yeah, well done, Ryan.
Yeah, superb job. Thanks for doing that, mate. Right, just moving on to a couple of people that we need to mention. The Poets Dream team, they support us, we support them. Lots of people actually posting to the Poets Dream Google Plus account. Keep on posting there because we're scanning it every day and every week looking for work that we can put on the show. So well done, keep on doing that. And a big shout out to the guys at The World Comes to You, because although Alan's been suffering, he has been doing this 15-minute show, as I mentioned before, but he's actually getting back into production. This Saturday, The World Comes to You goes back on air.
Is his health improving, Neil?
I think so,
slowly.
Yeah. Slowly but surely, but he feels fit enough and well enough to actually get back at the programme, which I think is really good because we've been missing The World Comes to You. So well done, Alan. So we're going to play your jingle as we play it every week. We'll keep it in there because it's important that people go over and listen to it. So here we go.
Well, hello. The World Comes to You here on Saturdays at noon. That's GMT.
Somebody mentioned tea.
Well, GMT is the world time zone.
Oh.
So people tuning in from Japan or somewhere else.
I live around the corner.
12 o'clock, Saturday, the 9th of April. The World Comes to You.
Oh, I can't have all them coming here.
So, Alan, I think we need an update on that jingle, because it does say right at the end, the 9th of April, and we're now in June. So I've been playing that for quite a while, actually. Yeah.
And good to hear Jeff back on air.
Yeah. Well, Jeff will be happy now he's got his old job back.
Yeah.
World Comes to You back live on air on Saturday. Get over there, listen to Alan Johnson. I'm not sure who his co-host is. I think it's probably going to be Susan Worrell. She did a brilliant job the other week of being the anchor on the programme. Maybe that's how they're going to run it for a while Alan gets back up to speed.
Yeah.
But he's sounding good. I think he's feeling a little bit better. And it looks as though it's going to be a great
fingers
show.
Fingers crossed. Certainly.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well done. Now, we're going to move on to a lady by the name of Marietta Maglas, and she's produced a poem called Dance of Love. And she contacted me through the SoundCloud account, so if you want to post stuff on the SoundCloud account, you can get up there and post it there. Said, would I consider this for the programme? And I thought it would be ideal. In fact, Alan did cover it on one of the, I think it was the Sunday show, on the 15-minute show, but I thought it was worth airing on the main show tonight. So let's have a listen to what Marietta has got to say.
Dance of Love, Villanelle. Bright feelings of love start to fall from the life tree. Memories are limbs of time coming from the past. Whispered words are fruits picked up by you and me. Sweet kisses feed my hunger of your bel esprit. Rocketing us to heights in this basic contrast. Bright feelings of love start to fall from the life tree. Come dance with me on this ring of thoughts to be free. The rays of dreams shine through the panes of room to lust. Whispered words are fruits picked up by you and me. Open your eyes in this new mystery to see this second coming into a new sense so fast. Bright feelings of love start to fall from the life tree. Memories are flowers to make a potpourri. We are too small in this immensity so vast. Whispered words are fruits picked up by you and me. Tomorrow you will bounce your baby on your knee in broken horizon, your bad dreams will be past. Bright feelings of love start to fall from the life tree. Whispered words are fruits picked up by you and me. Oscar Wilde in prison, Pantoum. In prison, Wilde learned to live from Verlaine and Kropotkin. Once reaching the ultimate achievement of wisdom, but understanding Christ, he was overwhelmed with chagrin. Enduring humility, he saw the holy kingdom. Once reaching the ultimate achievement of wisdom, Oscar found that unknowable was the soul of the man. Enduring humility, he saw the holy kingdom. Writing to Bosi, inside him, De Profundis began. Oscar found that unknowable was the soul of the man. Whatever happens to oneself happens to another. Writing to Bosi, inside him De Profundis began. The pillory replaced the pedestal of the lover. Whatever happens to oneself happens to another. But, understanding Christ, he was overwhelmed with chagrin. The pillory replaced the pedestal of the lover. In prison, Wilde learned to live from Verlaine and Kropotkin. Sunset. English and Sicilian Quintain. While the bud butterflies melt their wings within the light red poppy chain, the pink gray clouded set sunset rings in this lost sky, the sun's light vein is almost thrown in a bloody rain. The living sun abandons the sky for the moon, and in the cricket crow, the leaves of the oaks whisper goodbye while the coming night has a dark show. She looks at the stars with a black eye. The sun and the stars find synergy in the regolith on the moon, but with helium fusing energy, this moon looks like a big balloon or like a fragile silky cocoon. And like those thoughts enveloped in words, or like angels carrying their pure love, are the feathers of the holy birds. In that rain dropping the divine globes on the strong souls needing love rewards. Any epistemological sphere is pouring up to the holy book, or is falling down to disappear. The reverse arch gets a killer look, tries to provide fragrance of fear. The fluid wicked waves draining inside on earth to meet at infinity are like the dark rays in the pure light. Light rays are arches of Trinity, while dressed in wine seems to be the night. Stars are candles and night lights them all. The colors withdraw in the last light. In the black darkness they looked so small. The dream seeds germinate for a fight, becoming real while breaking their wall.
There you go. That was Marietta Maglis. Thought it was worthwhile us playing that again. So thank you very much for sending that in.
A bit different, that, Neil.
It was different.
Yeah.
She sent a few in, so we'll pick a few more and play them in the forthcoming program. So thank you very much for doing that. We're going to play next a poem by Alex Maxwell, who's a good friend of mine, good friend of yours, and it's called Fierce. And I asked him to record this one because sometimes things strike a chord with you, don't they? And this was one of them. So I asked him to record Fierce. He sent it through the other day. It's a cracking piece. Have a listen.
The fierce battle rages outside my window pane, between the angry wind, the bushes, trees, and the pouring rain. An ancient struggle, who knows how old, where it comes, where it goes, or why it blows cold. Punches whistle in, echo and howl, rain down upon the adversary afoul. Snapping limbs that bend and sway of the brave trees which get in its way. Trunks grip tightly, a palm full of dirt. Muscles tense, taut, long-fingered roots that hurt. How cruel nature can seem, whose side should I be? It shouldn't matter, why does it to me? Tomorrow promises casualties, fields littered in debris. Those fallen grasp no evil degree. Leaving the dead to compose with earth, in the distance hovers another low-pressure birth. The injured will fight on, looking to the west. Experience has taught never to rest. Ancient oaks stood strong 100-odd years, seen their destiny in their father's fatal fears. Scars they bear represent a reminder to plunge deeper roots and develop stronger. It's in their nature to grow, to feed, to shelter those large and small through another belter. For me, I stand safe and watch the war, protected by the glass screen, wondering what's it all for. Fierce by Alexander Maxwell.
There you go. Thank you, Alex, for sending that one in. I really enjoyed reading it when I read it, and I enjoyed his reading of it as well. I thought it worked really well. So thanks very much for doing that.
Yeah, it was good, Alex. Yeah.
It was really good. And Alex is the guy who set up the Poem Kubli, which is a nice Radio 2 link, as they say, because we're just going to go into the Poem Kubli section. And this week, the Poem Kubli poets who's been chosen is Ryan Woods, who did the poem at the beginning, the rap at the beginning, and he's his poem, his life was all about pumping iron until I pumped him full of lead, which is a cracking piece. So we'll play the Poem Kubli intro, and then we'll play his straight away, and then we'll talk about it after.
So you know what question I'm going to ask, don't you, Neil?
Yeah. Go on.
What are the two words?
What are the two words? No idea. But does it matter?
Yes.
Probably.
Just to me.
I really must get my act together on that.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. I promise I will do better.
Have another biscuit.
12 poems. Two words. An explosion of mind-bending, heart-rending, scaring, sharing, dream-making, tear-jerking poetry of epic proportions. That is Kubli.
This piece is entitled, His Life Was All About Pumping Iron Until She Pumped Him Full of Lead, also known as The Revenge of Dolores Diamond. When the law lets you down, let Down's law pick you up. So read the legend above the door that led into Neil Down's office. A one-time, small-time hoodlum, now a downtown, small-town attorney at law. His walls were plastered with physique shots of 80s bodybuilding icons, like Bob Paris from a lifetime ago, before he exchanged pumping iron for pumping ink, onto the page that is, in the form of poetry. Then there was a lovely Rachel McLeish, hot to trot, muscle-bound she was not. It didn't take a rocket scientist to work out that he used to be into lifting weights, before he got caught lifting TVs, and getting involved in other more serious crimes like stealing cars to pay for his Diana ball and served a spell behind bars for his troubles. He quickly learned that Grand Theft Auto was no game and the price to pay was a holiday at a taxpayer's expense behind unscalable walls and a razor wire fence. In his defence, he learned his lesson about never to return. He rolled with the punches until his parole rolled around. Life on the inside was kind of like bodybuilding. It was a never-ending cycle of reps and sets. Sets of rules, sets of regulations, sets of regrets, and daily repetitions that made life stagnant. For some, it was a case of no pain, no gain. Been there, done that, bought the steroids. The song remains the same. He got ripped, and he got ripped off. He met some characters on the inside. Some were good, some were bad, some were badass. What he did learn was that he preferred it on the outside to on the inside. It was on the inside that he'd first met Jimmy Diamond. They called him Sparkles for obvious reasons. But sure as hell wasn't his sparkling personality, because he didn't have one. He was a mean son of a gun who bench-pressed 450 pounds just for fun. His face was a roadmap of retribution. It was the kind of face that only a mother could love. And even then, she'd have to be Mother Teresa. He was built like a brick outhouse, was about as welcoming as one. His number one squeeze, though, oh Lord, she was in a whole other league. She was Premier Division. The minute she waltzed into Neil Down's office, he felt like all his birthdays and Christmases had come at once. She was the kind of present that he would have sold his soul to unwrap. Dolores Diamond was 50 shades of hot. What she was doing with Jimmy, he simply could not figure out. It was simply a riddle. She sizzled like bacon on a hot griddle and had the kind of body that would make a grown man sweat bullets of anticipation and make a priest think twice about his vow of celibacy or maybe even take a vacation from a church or at the very least seek confession where he would hope that a handful of Hail Marys would rid his mind of thoughts not suited to a man of the cloth. She had lips that a man could kiss for the rest of his life without ever tiring of the flavour. And curves that were more dangerous than a hairpin bend on an alpine road. She was hot with a capital H, and we're talking ghost chili hot. She was articulate and articulated. She had the kind of hips that women dream of having and men dream of holding. And he imagined that she could make swear words sound like Shakespeare, especially in the bedroom. Love is a four-letter word, but her favourite four-letter word started with F and ended with K. She liked to funk, and she liked to funk hard. She worked hard, played hard, and liked to hit the dance floor hard. Never once did it dare to hit back, unlike Sparkles. Not averse to striking women, he was a 24-carat nugget of no good. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and he was rotten to the core. His father was a Cosa Nostra, and his mother was a whore in a past life. But the heart of gold kind of like Ermila Deuce. So it really didn't matter, and he really didn't mind what her history was. It was all in the past. She liked her men like she liked her cars, furious and fast. So basically, Jimmy had never wanted for nothing for the whole of his life. Money, drugs, and women, he had them all aplenty. He became a made man by the time he was 20. There wasn't a single pie that he didn't have his finger in. He had more rackets than a sporting goods store and owned his own Iron Man gym. He was great for laundering money, a testosterone castle. Even the boys in blue knew not to give Sparkles no hassle. So for years, Dolores played a good wife and took the bad with the worse. She kept her lips sealed until she knew the whole chapter in verse and knew every one of his shady deals. He also knew that to speak of them meant to swim the harbour whilst wearing concrete heels. So for years, her psyche took a battering. It became mind over matter. Jimmy didn't mind throwing his weight around, and Dolores didn't matter anymore. So she sat there in a chair with her perfect pins crossed, and continued to spill the beans about how Jimmy bossed her around, put her down on the floor, and told her he didn't need her around anymore. She wasn't going to take it lying down, that was never her way. So she asked for Neil's help and got ready to say the words that she needed to speak and he needed to hear. Like music then rolled from her lips and danced across the air to his ear. As if reciting poetry, she licked her lips instead. His life was all about pumping iron, until I pumped him full of lead.
There you go, deserved winner. You see, the thing with Ryan is he's a great writer. Mm-hmm. And I've had the pleasure of reading a couple of chapters of his forthcoming novel. And I said, I think it was on last week's programme, that one day you and I will say we knew him when he had holes in his ankies.
Yeah.
Because this guy is going to be quite a famous writer in the future. That I have no doubt.
There's some fantastic lines in there, Neil.
Oh.
You know, and his description of the lady.
Yeah, it's stunning.
You know, he obviously took a lot of pleasure from that because it was about two-thirds of the poem.
Yeah.
But some cracking one-liners. You know, face full of retribution, I think, was one.
Oh, line. Yeah. It was superb. The curves like a hairpin bend,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it kind of threw up in my mind images. Do you remember the old Philip Marlowe series that used to be on the TV when TV was in black and white?
Your dad told me about that.
It just kind of reminded me of those days when women were full bodied and not these stick insects that you see kicking around these days. So cracking point that, Ryan. Brilliant. Thank you very much for doing that. Yeah, superb.
So that was the Kubli winner of the week, Neil.
It was Kubli winner of the week, really worthwhile. There's an interview. I interviewed Ryan for Poem Kubli, so there's an interview going online this week. Which he tells us a little bit about his life and why he got into writing and why he's got into poetry. So it's really, really worth a read.
Just out of interest, Neil, is Kubli, is it a bit of a closed shop?
Yeah, it is, right. What they're doing now is it's 12 poets, and what they're doing is they're inviting a guest poet every week. So if you're on Facebook and you're interested in being a guest poet on the set, you'll be invited in to be a guest poet on one of the sessions during the week.
I'm just interested in the words. We've mentioned it a lot, Kubli.
Yeah, and it's quite good because we're getting some good guest poets in as well. But it's really one of those groups where everybody supports each other. Mm. And you'd be amazed at some of the poetry that comes out of just two words, you know, all different genres.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic if you knew what the two words were, but another dig. But it's good, Neil, because in some ways it's almost... encouraging you to write something every single week.
It does. It makes you exercise your mind every week to actually write something. Yeah. So it's been great. It's been really worthwhile. In fact, one of our regulars, one of the key players on Bon Coubli is Diane Forbes Compton. And we're going to play Symphony of Silence that she's wrote. And Diane's been trying to get her recording equipment up to speed because I've been asking her for about the last 7 or 8 weeks to record something. So she recorded this. So let's have a listen to it.
A symphony in silence. There is a symphony of sounds in silence, but absolute quiet is required in order to listen. Still the physique, quiet the psyche. Let the psychobabble go and listen to what is always there but never heard, except perhaps inside the heart, inside the soul. Let your mind journey over the hurdles, the mountains that rise to eclipse your memory. Fly high into the sky and look down at the earth like an eagle who knows no boundaries imposed by the maps of men. Let all the troubles that simmer continuously, a cacophony of idiotic noise, drift away, and see what is there when all is quiet, when true sanity can take shape and employ the sentences, and listen. There is the sound a newborn makes when it first opens eyes to a new world of wonder, the sound that a drop of rain makes individually, which then increases in tempo, as part of a downpour, a cloud of remembered tears left unshed, and finally focused on relieving a drought you weren't even aware existed. Hear the sound of a flower opening in joy, the wings of a butterfly humming over the flower's face, an animal calling her children home, the ocean crashing and smashing its way into our hearts. The swit-swit of sand sliding between toes on a hot buttered day, the sizzle of fresh meat cooking on the grill, the sound of a tin can opening to expose cold, sudsy contents. Listen for the sound of a bell as it reverberates in your being. Listen and remember the sounds of childhood, the tin can being kicked, the thunk of the ball as it connected with your foot or the bat, the flop of the tennis ball on the court when you missed the shot, the look in someone's eyes when the first kiss took place, the sound an insect makes streaming past your ear, too fast to see. The strange sound of a car's engine turning over, unable to start, the rat-a-tat of hail breaking on the siding of a house, the crack of an icicle dropping on the side of a roof in the wonder and majesty of a snowy day. Go back and listen to the voices of those you knew, stilled by time and memory, eclipsed by the everyday busyness of living. Listen for the sleigh bells that terrified and delighted you every Christmas Eve, the sound of voices lifted in hymn, the cries of children playing, and the sweetest sound, a gasp of wonder at something new. Remember these when the noise of the day is overwhelming you, taking apart your brain, linking your synapses to a constant state of panic induced by stress. There is a symphony of sounds in silence. Listen, be still. Listen, be well. Listen like nothing else matters except the moment, now. Listen. You may hear the angels singing, understand a baby's coos, and wonder why you missed it all this time. Listen to the still wonder that is you.
So there you go. Listen. Listen to the still wonder that is you. Great piece that, Diane. Thank you for sending it in. Now, when Diane sent it in, she said, oh, I played it to friends of mine. They're saying I'm speaking too fast. Well, that's not quite the case because you speak how you think the poem should be read, don't you? You interpret your poetry.
I think I know what she means a little bit, but still very good, Neil.
It is, And I think you've got to deliver it in your style, haven't you?
You absolutely have to deliver it in your style and you have to feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Otherwise you lose a sense of what you're trying to do, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all get a bit quicker when we're a bit edgy and a bit nervous. And I'm not suggesting she was, but...
But we all do. Everybody suffers from the same
thing. I still think it was a very, very good...
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, so thanks very much, Diane. Yeah, it was really good. She has got one wicked sense of humour, that
girl. Has she?
Oh, bloody hell, I'll say. Really wicked sense of humour. Right, moving on to Andy Daniels. He's been on the programme once before. And well, he's been on a couple of times before. And Andy's sent us this through. So see what you think of this one, Steve.
Different faiths. Different faiths, but God is one. After all is said and done, different faiths among mankind, yet some of them leave God behind. Different faiths, but God is one. After all is said and done, different faiths, but still they fight. This in itself cannot be right. Different faiths, but God is one, after all is said and done. Different faiths, yet still they doubt that God exists, or is about. Different faiths, but God is one, after all is said and done. Different faiths manipulate, but one God they should celebrate.
It's been a point now when I read it. It was all these different faiths, and all these different faiths don't actually stick to their faith, and that's happening all over the world.
It's a truism.
It is a truism. So thanks, Andy. A real good. I like that word. Truism.
Is it a proper word, that?
Yeah, I don't care. I think we should use it for a poem, Kubli, one day. Truism. And we'll make another one up.
And something else. Yeah, we'll think of another word in a minute.
So another guy who's been sending some of his work in is Derek J. Kenmuir, and it's called Don't You Dare. And I've voiced this over for Derek. I hope you like it, Derek. I've done my level best to deliver it in a style that I think it should have been delivered in. Here we go.
Sunset. Sunrise, look through my eyes. Before you judge me, take off the dirty disguise. Judgment, why? Because I stay wise. Pain, tears, demise, disloyal, untrue lies. Can you look me dead in the eyes? Judge me, don't you dare.
See, I kind of like that because people are always judging people. And I thought that last line of "Judge me, don't you dare" was a really good way of finishing it off. So
I'll tell you what I think is good as well, Neil. We all get carried away with trying to write long poems, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We think, you know, it needs another verse, it needs another verse. And that was so poignant, really. Short, sharp.
Yeah,
really
straight to the point.
Straight to the point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to vote for more short poems.
Yeah, we could start a new political party.
Yeah. A one-verse poem only.
Yeah. Let's see how many we get of those in. There's quite a few kicking around.
Yes.
Right. I picked this one up. It's by Rebecca Askew. It's got the weirdest title in the world. It's called Homage to My Feet.
Okay.
All right. It's a little bit different, this one. Stay with it. Homage to My Feet by Rebecca Askew.
I am Rebecca Askew, and I am reading Homage to My Feet. These feet are narrow, with bony extrusions. They have held the weight of me through 1,000 journeys in various countries. These feet are strong. They are art. They are philosophers covered in dandelion snow. These feet know the weight of steel-toed boots, the elegance of heels, the tightness of running, and the freedom of flip-flops. These feet are tired, calloused, and sore. They know the pain of blisters bleeding and broken toes, as well as the softness of a healing touch. These feet like colors, blues and reds, yellows and violets, with dragon flowers. These feet know the feel of a cheese grater, the rub of sandpaper, the slice of a vegetable peeler, and the coolness of oil. These feet, once fresh and new, know the smell of baby powder and the feel of black ink prints. These feet have left their footprints in hallways, on sandy beaches, on car windows, on walls, on smooth pavement, and in fresh, fallen, soft winter snow. These feet, they are strong. The feet of a woman. My feet.
Different now, wasn't it?
At the risk of being a wee bit risque.
Yeah.
How'd you get the imprint of feet on a car window?
Maybe we'll ask her.
Yes. Maybe we won't.
No, maybe we won't. Maybe it's not fit for consumption. I thought it was great, that.
Interesting. Sounded like a bit of a story of her life and what her feet have done over.
That's
there.
Right, yeah. Which I thought was really, really quite cool, because when you think about it, your feet take you everywhere, don't they?
Yes, you know? Important feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
More bones in the feet than any other part of the human body.
Is there? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
The useless fact from
you Bali. Are so full of disinformation. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next. Poem of the week, I think.
Poem of the week, Neil, yes. Yeah. No prize.
No.
But just the acclaim And I think you've got something you've picked out for this
one.
I have, actually.
I picked up this one by Jennifer Sacosta, and it's called Inside Each Other's Kiss, and she's recorded it for us. And I picked it because I've been seeing quite a bit of her work coming through, and she does a lot of open mic sessions, goes to a lot of colleges and universities, talks about poetry over in the US, and she's you know, quite active in the poetry world, and she's been sending quite a bit of stuff through, and I came across this one, and I thought, whoa, this is pretty good. This, well, most of them are good. I like most of the stuff that we do, and I like this one in particular. And I thought, well, we'll play it today.
Okay, so this is our poem of the week.
This is our poem of the week, yeah.
And doesn't detract from all the other stuff we've had on the programme.
It doesn't. It's just a case each week we'll pick one out and we'll
just catch this
one. Here we go. Have a listen.
Inside each other's kiss. Listen for that life netted in your mouth, my love. It's like how blue-eyed butterflies kiss the tips of orange-lipped buttercups, she said. Her voice was the melody of blue jays. She bounced, buoyant, persuading his lips to part streaks of white purity. Silver light rejoiced, defining the space behind universal eyes. Silent tongues understand what is understood. It was her longing that filled the neutral gaze of his soul. She etched creation into the colours of his breath. She carved her spirit into his bones, marked his frame with trails of gemstones sizzling over his sapphire skin. Her ruby fingertips sculpting, painting pulsing scented blood, her sweet and salty stain of devotion swept underneath his clothes. She unbuttons the underbelly of his love. His touch took hold of her face, dripping, awe-stricken wonder in his placid palms. He said, "Sip slowly on the innocence of my gaze. Be deliberate. Coat your throat velvet. Purple plush pleasure screams inside green forest pine-scented burst, embedded in the longest overture, our song. Suave and staccato in the wind. Long, deep breaths, breathing, heaving chests, rest. Rest in a red sea joined collectively inside each other's kiss."
Right, just give you the background to this. Mm. I read it. I asked Jennifer if she could record it. Got it wrong before. She couldn't record it. And I thought, who's got the perfect, perfect British accent to actually do this? And
me. You never asked me, did you?
And I immediately thought of Christine Barker, and Christine took up the challenge and actually recorded that. And it just brought that whole poem to life.
Just pure delivery, Christine. You could hear every single word clearly.
Yeah.
With the right emphasis, Neil.
Yeah.
Remarkable delivery.
Yeah. Superb. So I hope we did you.
She's from Oldham.
She's from Oldham. No, she's not from Oldham or Rochdale. She's not from our neck of the woods. No. She's not from Manchester. But absolutely brilliant delivery and a great poem. Thanks very much for writing it, Jennifer. And thanks to Christine. You did an amazing job on it. Mm. Wonderful. Moving now quickly along, because we're getting very close to the end of our hour. We're going to play this one by Melissa Stein, who sent in this one called Sacred Skin. Now, Melissa's been on the programme before. She's always quite laid back. She posts loads of stuff, and I'll say to her, "Oh, Melissa, do us a favour and record." And she goes, "Well, no, you've got others that you need to post and all the rest of it, but this is really worthwhile listening.
Got to shine your light sometimes."
You have, and you need to shine your light, Melissa. So we're going to play this. You've always got a space on the Scribble Show. Here we go.
Sacred Skin. As she danced gracefully by me, I saw her sacred satin skin. It was beautifully translucent, but the scars were wearing thin. Crisscrossed upon her entirety, woven realms of disowned pain, moments of disturbed madness, thus preventing her from going insane. Each scar spoke to me. Some would whisper, others would shout. Many were laced with low self-esteem. Others bore memoirs of lonesome self-doubt. Plenty were extremely deep, as they bore near to the bone. Scars that would secrets keep, red raw ones stood out, all on their own. One scar would end where another did start. All those lonely moments sat nursing a broken heart. Some held names of the bullies filled with fear, occupying fright. As they held her, help her hide away, her shamefulness, cutting every day and every night. Scars became a suit of armor as they wrapped around her tiny frame to keep her protected from the constant verbal abuse, violent torment, countless times she was rejected. Every mutilation, a memory untold, every disfigurement, countless years hidden away, growing cold. Beautiful girl, I saw your sacred satin skin, but beyond I saw your shine, and in a split moment, I read your life. Thank you, for you just enriched mine.
You know, I'm amazed at how many people have got such perfect diction when they do the recordings for the programme. It is absolutely spot on.
They did something we didn't do when we were young and
ill. That
we went to school.
Yeah, well, it just didn't seem important at the time.
No, but you're right.
It is. It's just, and it's that perfect diction that actually brings the poetry to life.
Yeah.
Because you can hear every syllable as it runs through. So I thought it was two cracking pieces without any musical production sat in the background.
Yeah.
Straightforward readings.
I think music would have spoiled those two. I think music would have taken something away from the delivery of those two.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they were absolutely perfect.
What a really mellow way to sort of bring the programme to an end.
It is really, yeah, because we're virtually out of time now, really.
Right, Neil. Well, I think one thing we need to do before we go is just let our listeners know that we've got a couple more shows next week and the week after, and then we're going to have a bit of a summer break, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We're going to break. We do this every year on other programmes that we do and other things that we get involved with. We take a bit of a summer break. We come off the networks for around about 6 weeks.
Yes.
And the reason we do that is once you get into July and August, it's a big holiday season in most places around the world. So what we decide to do is take advantage of that.
Yes.
And you, me and the rest of the team go our separate ways and go and enjoy a couple of weeks in the sun, camping, walking.
In the sun, camping.
Maybe not in the sun. I stretched it a bit there. Yeah. I've been getting carried away with all this good weather that we've had.
You may be right.
We sit in the rain and we contemplate our navels for a couple of weeks, and then we come back, clay everything together. But what we need is everybody still contributing to the Scribble page.
Keep sending the stuff in, because when we come back we'll be at it with earnest at that point.
And we'll really gear up when we come back and get more in, so we'll keep on reminding you of that as we get closer to
just thought it was worth mentioning tonight, Neil, so that we don't tell people in 2 weeks' time, they think, well, I mean, there's no notice.
Why are they not there anymore?
Yeah.
So it is only a break. We do it every year while everybody else is away enjoying the holidays and the breaks, or entertaining the kids or the grandkids or whatever it is you're doing. You just want to enjoy your summer's break.
Yeah.
And we take that time out as
well. We charge the batteries ahead of the winter months.
Yeah, indeed. And then we get back into it in earnest when we come back in. And whoever Ernest is, we'll get him on the show.
Yes. Do you know anybody called Ernest? Do you know anybody called Ernest?
Do I not? No, I don't actually. I don't know anybody called Ernest. Maybe we should find one. Is there any Ernest out there? Get in touch with
Send
us.
Send a poem
in the program. Yeah, get us a poem.
With your birth certificate.
So we can prove it. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thanks very much again, Steve, for
joining
us.
Enjoyed it as always, Neil.
It's
Thank you
really
for
good.
Having
me. Thanks to all the poets who've contributed to this week's program. Thanks to all the listeners. And most of all, thanks to everybody who contributes, comments, gets involved, on the Facebook page and posting their work on SoundCloud and Poet's Dream, because without you, there would be no show.
And good luck to Alan this Saturday.
Yeah, good luck to Alan. Get over to The World Comes to You on Poetry in Motion on Saturday, round about 12 o'clock, technology permitting. He'll be broadcasting there. So big thank you to everybody. And as we say each week and every week, may your God or your gods go with you. Good night.